Prabhupada ki, Bhakti Bhai Bhav ki, Shantaraj, Shina, Bhagavan Khan ki, Giriraj, Maharaj ki, Nithai Gopri Maharaj ki, welcome back to many of you who are coming for the first time this year. Good to see all of you. So last week we gave out the textbook for Canto 6. We intend to finish Canto 6 this year. That is our aim, so to speak. Hands up if you did not get the course book last week. Also the topic for the I only take the book if you're going to be coming regularly. If you're coming regularly, you can take the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're going to come regularly, then you take the book. No problem. And did anyone get the course, the open book topic? You did open book topic? Did you get it? Just pass the door. Pass one over there. Anyone else need our book topic? Everyone has the course material? Everyone has? Okay. Open book topic, yeah? Okay, wonderful. Okay, so the intention is to finish Canto 6 this year. So obviously the course material is very handy for your study, and the open book topics are necessary for you to pass the course. So, last week I don't think I gave the key memory version. So if you look on the course material, if you look on page 55, you'll see near the end of the book, page 55. There are six slogans which are there for Canto 6. So we'll give you the first three. That will be your first closed book exam will be scheduled for the end of March, beginning of April. So I recommend that you memorize those first three slogans, 6115, 6319, 6320. Memorize them by at the end of March. That gives you around 2 months to memorize it. Okay. And your open book exam will also be you'll be required to hand them in at the end of March also. April the 1st is the date, the due date for the open book exam topic. So tonight we are beginning Canto 6. chapter 1. Now, chapter 1 is called
the history of the life of
Adamiel. It's a very important topic. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam has many topics. We could say that the principal topic in the Srimad Bhagavatam is what? Yeah, what is the main topic? You could say, yes, the sun and moon, the Krishna and the gold, what? So, what is the main topic of the Bhagavatam?
Chanting the holy name.
Chanting the holy name, yeah.
Protection by the Lord.
Main topic of the Bhagavatam? What is the main topic of the Bhagavatam? Krishna is the person.
Remember Krishna
is the time. Remember Krishna is the time. We could say that according to the Bhagavatam, the governing verse of the Bhagavatam is that they come from Sakalapunta, Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So this is the main topic of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is explaining that Krishna is the original and supreme living entity. He is the original personality of Godhead. Now, there are many other important topics within the Bhagavatam simultaneously. So one of those topics is glorifying the importance of chanting the holy name of Krishna as being the process of realization. In the second canto, it is described that Harinam Anu Kirtanam, that in order to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, then you have to chant the holy name. Harinam Kirtan, or Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan. Now, specifically, it is said Anu Kirtan. Anu Kirtan means you must follow, which specifically means that in order to become perfect in your chanting, you need to take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. Because you can only learn how to chant through the instruction and by studying the example of a bona fide spiritual master. I was listening to a lecture by my spiritual master, an initiation lecture. I was listening only in the last few days, and he said, you learn to chant the holy name through the spiritual master. So without a spiritual master, you will not get the full benefit of your chanting. Because you may chant the holy name, but if you do not have guidance or you do not have instruction, you can sit there as well. Then just turn it like that and maybe you can sit there. But make this as quick and as easy as possible. Everyone get off the mental platform. Okay. So, the only way that you can get the full benefit of your chanting is by learning it from a spiritual master. You must learn how to chant. You must be instructed by the spiritual master, and you must study the spiritual master. And you must study chanting under a spiritual master. That is called Anu Kirtana. Anu Kirtana means that if you simply chant by yourself, you will only get limited benefits. You will get greater benefits by learning how to chant under the instruction of the spiritual master. He will teach you the proper mood in chanting. He will give you instructions how to chant. Now, one of the main topics of the Bhagavatam is to learn this process of Harinam Anu Kirtanam. Now, at the end of the Bhagavatam, there are many verses which describe the glories of chanting the holy name. Very famous verses in the very end of the Bhagavatam. So they're very famous verses. And then, in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, you look in the very first chapter, there are also verses glorifying the power of chanting the holy name. Now, right in the middle of the Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, which is considered to be the middle, if you look at it, actually, the 12 cantos, you wouldn't say it's exactly the middle. Probably for about the 8th canto would be the middle, purely the size of the Bhagavatam. But it's called canto and the 12 cantos. So the 12 cantos, in the 6th canto, we have this part from the very beginning of the canto of Ajamyo. And this pastime is explaining to us the importance of chanting the holy name and the benefit of chanting the holy name. So this is one of the main topics of the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Jiva Goswami is explaining this. One of the main topics of studying the Bhagavad Gita is to learn the process of Harinam, Kamal, Kirtanam. So that we'll be studying as deeply as possible in the next couple of months while we're studying this pastime, the importance of chanting the holy name correctly. Because many of us do not chant the holy name very well. We need to improve a lot in our chanting. So the purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita, one of the purposes is to improve our chanting. And by studying this particular pastime, we will improve our chanting and study it sincerely and deeply. So, you may remember that in the Bhagavad Gita, thus far, it's mentioned in the second canto, 10th chapter, which is the last chapter of the 10th canto, in the first row, there are 10 subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, I wanted to have these written up on the board before I got here tonight, but I, on the way from the farm to the temple, I had to stop at for prasad at Sri Ram Prabhu's house and Krishna Maharaj's house, and they made me eat too much. So then I could not get here on time to write everything on the board. So I did want to have all this written. I'm just blaming you, it was actually my fault. But actually, I did want to get here a little earlier, just so I could write these 10 subject matters up, but we'll go through them, because these subject matters are very important in understanding the overall context of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, you're going to have to sit back more, so you guys organize the room. So if you guys need room to move, it's not going to work, I want it that way. So everyone move along, so there's more room. Raj, move. Then go that way
or that one? Unfortunately. What was the first thing Srila Prabhupada said when he walked into the temple?
Firstly, did you miss the class last week? Did you miss the first class? Oh, okay, so you missed the part about punctuality, right? You're a punctuality. Because you're actually doing this at this point of time, and I hope this is not going to be the way you're going to be for the rest of the year, really, I'm not sure. You're going to be on time, aren't you?
Yeah.
So what time does the class actually start?
8.
Very good, okay. You just failed the exam. What time does the class actually start? 3 has my number book. Very good. And what time do we come? 7:30, yeah. 7:30, 7:35, I can tolerate like that, but if you're going to come late, it's going to disrupt the whole class for the whole year. So don't make it a habit of arriving late. But otherwise, it's very difficult to hit the momentum for the class. Okay, so the third subject matter, okay, is? Saga. Very good. Saga. Saga means? Creation. Yes, the primary creation. Very good. Okay, so the first subject matter is? Saga. Okay, so Saga means creation, right? Now, where did we hear about Saga?
First temple.
We heard about Saga, right? And, yeah, and third chapter. And also, we heard about it in the second canto, which discussed. Saga means the principle of creation coming from Mahavishnu himself. So we got about that also in the third canto in elaboration. So and the second subject matter is? Visarga. Visarga means? Okay, secondary creation. What does this refer to?
Creation
by the Ma, also from his expansion. Mahavishnu, his expansion, Gavadakshaya Vishnu. From that creation within this universe, Gavadakshaya Vishnu and Lord Brahma, then that is the Visarga, the secondary creation. Where did we hear about that? Second canto we heard about? Also on the third canto we heard about it. Now what is the next subject matter? Does anyone actually remember these? Because I don't want people to guess. Does anyone actually remember? Okay, no one actually remembers. So here I have the second canto.
I remember.
You remember? Okay, we'll test your memory. Hold that. You can read them for me. Let's make sure we get them. Okay, so what is the next one?
Sanam.
Is that the next one? Sorry? Going off wrong, get on that.
I think
that's Sanam. Sanam. Okay, there it is. Sanam. Well, what's a Sanam? What is the translation?
Planetary system.
Planetary system. Okay, now, where did we hear about the planetary system? We heard about them in the fifth canto, which was the last canto that we studied, which was at the end of last year. We heard about Dharma, the description of how the planetary system was situated. Right, so we've just heard about this. This is fresh. Okay. Now, what is the next? Porchana. What does Porchana mean?
Protection
by the Lord. Okay, so it means protection of the devotees by the Lord. Protection by the Lord. Okay, so where do we hear about this subject matter?
Sixth canto.
You hear that about this in this? Sixth canto. The sixth canto is called Porchana. Which means protection by the Lord. So we're about to hear about the pastime of Adamyo, Chitraketu, Indra, Rishrasura, like that. So how the Lord protects the devotee. Adamyo was protected at the time of death. So we'll hear about specifically in this canto all about Porchana. Next subject matter is?
Okay.
How do you spell it?
Is it?
Yeah. The creative impetus. What is the next one called?
Manvantara. Changes of Manu.
Manvantara means the changes of the Manu. Okay? Manvantara. Changes of Manu. Okay, so where do we hear about the change of the mandala? Fourth canto, or the beginning of the third canto. Remember, Swayambhu Manu appeared. So from him, then we heard about the dynasties continuing. Uttanapad and Priyavrata, which is canto 4, canto 5. And we hear about Devahuti, Akuti, and Prasuti. Back in canto 3. So beginning of third canto onwards, we hear about Manantara. Okay? Next one is?
Isha.
Anu. Okay. Which is, what do you translate?
The science of God.
Science of God.
Niroha.
What is the next one?
Niroha.
Rosa. Okay, New Rosa.
Going back home, back to Russia.
Going back to Russia? Okay, then we have Mukti, which means
liberation.
And finally,
Atra.
Which means
Samabhona.
The summum bonum, or the ashray, is Krishna himself. And that is the subject matter of the 10th canto. So these are the 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam. Now, specifically, in this canto, we'll be hearing about Porchana, which means protection of the devotees by the Lord. Okay. So let us begin the 10th canto. Okay. Sorry, the 6th canto. The 10th canto will begin in another 4 years. Please come back in 4 years, fine? Stick with us. It's not long to go. 4 years is not much in the lifetime of Walter and I. So please be patient. First verse. Maharaj Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Shukadeva Goswami, you have already described in the second canto the path of liberation in the Vritti Marg. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahma Loka, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases.
Since Maharaj Parikshit was a Vaishnava, when he heard the description at the end of the 5th canto of different elite conditions of life, he was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya and take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master Sukadeva Goswami about the Nivritti Marga or path of liberation, which he had described in the 2nd canto. Maharaj Parikshit, who at the time of death was fortunate to have met Sukadeva Goswami, inquired from Sukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Sukadeva Goswami very much appreciated his question and congratulated him by saying, Pariyam Esha De Prasna Suto Loka Hitam Nupa Atmavit Samna My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is a prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Bhagavatam 2.1.1. Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditioned state do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is the symptom of a Vaishnava. Vancha Kalpa Sarudrasya Kupa Sindhu Evacha. A Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. Haradukha Dukhi. He is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, being compassionate towards the condition of souls suffering in hellish life, suggested that the Sukadeva Goswami continue discerning the path of liberation, which he had explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The word asamskriti is very important in this connection. Samskriti refers to continuing on the path of birth and death, and asamskriti, on the contrary, refers to Nivritti Marga, or the path of liberation, by which one's birth and death sees and one gradually progresses to Brahmaloka. Unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to higher planetary system, in which case one immediately returns home back to Godhead by executing devotional service, Tetva Deham Punar Janma Naitimam Rishkorchina. Parikshit Maharaj therefore was very eager to hear from Sukadeva Goswami about the path of liberation for the conditioned soul.
Okay. What points do we have so far in the purport?
It shows the compassion of Parikshit Maharaj. It shows the compassion of Parikshit Maharaj. And he is so worried about the other because he is going to die in the end. He is also worried that he is more worried about the people who are living here. So they are not following the path of going back to the
any other point?
Here is the dominant factor to have faith in God. The earlier canto took care of the heart. And logically the next chapter is going to be the description of Nivritti Marga of liberation.
As opposed to Prakriti Marga. These are discussed according to Parikshit Maharaj in the second canto of Bhagavatam. So Nivritti Marga means the path of liberation. Pravritti Marg means the path of regulated sense enjoyment. So according to the Vedas, that if you want to enjoy sense gratification, you can enjoy sense gratification, it must be done in a regulated way. In other words, if you want to enjoy the best sense gratification in the material world, then you go to Swargaloka. So in order to get to Swargaloka, there must be a system to attain it. These days, there is no regulated sense gratification. People think that if you want to enjoy your senses, then you can just do it in an unrestricted way. And this is the pattern in the material world these days. People are just enjoying like animals, which is called dvipada pashu. So, human life begins when you begin to follow some regulation. This is called Prakriti Marg. You're following regulation, you want to enjoy your senses, you want to go to Swarga to enjoy superior sense gratification, so you must follow a regulated system, a Vedic system. But superior to that, which has been described already in the Bhagavatam, is Nivritti Marg. Nivritti Marg means you perform activities which will enable you to renounce this world and become attached to going back to the spiritual world. So you follow the Vedic path, so you follow those portions of the Vedas which teach you how to live your life in such a way that you gradually attain Krishna consciousness. Which means you have to regulate the sense gratification in the beginning, and then gradually develop detachment. Nivritti means a detached path. You become detached from this world, and gradually become attached to the spiritual world. You cannot become attached to Krishna as long as you're attached to this world. If you have attachments to the material world, you can't transcend. You can't go back to the spiritual world. Your attachments will keep you in this world. So therefore, the Nivritti Marg means that you gradually give up those attachments, practice renunciation, and increase your bhakti, or your devotion to Krishna. Now, according to the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says that there are two planets within this world that you can go back to the spiritual world from. One is Brahmaloka. The path of Nivritti Marg means that you gradually purify your consciousness. You move up through the higher planetary system. Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, then Satchaloka, Brahmaloka, and then you can, from Lord Brahma's planet, at the end of Lord Brahma's life, which is very long, because he is a pure devotee, then by his association you can transcend this material world, and you can also go back to the spiritual world. Or you can stay here on Earth in Kali Yuga, living in Brighton, right? And you can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you don't have to worry about following the gradual path of rising up to Lord Brahma's planet. If you seriously apply yourself to the Harinam Anusirtanam process, or the process of chanting the holy name, you can purify your consciousness and become perfect in this life and go back to the spiritual world. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, expected all of his disciples to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. That means we have to become very serious. That means we have to improve our chanting. So if we improve our chanting and if we elevate our consciousness, we can go back to the spiritual world in this lifetime. If you become conscious of Krishna at the time of death. So this has to be practiced. This is what sadhana means. Sadhana means practice. We are practicing to remember Krishna at the time of death. Because all the rules of the Vedas teach us to always remember Krishna, to never forget Krishna. So this requires practice to always remember Krishna. That is our entire process. And the process of initiation, anukirtanam, means that by the process of initiation, the guru is encouraging you and instructing you how to perfect your life by following his instructions so that you can develop full Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada once said, don't try to look for Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan, but find Krishna in the order of the spiritual master. That's where Krishna is found. By following the order of the guru, you will find Krishna. Krishna will reveal himself to you. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will reveal himself to you. So this is our process. Any comments so far? Okay. Well, can you read the next part? Well, we have a favorite question.
How can one go from Svargaloka?
Speak loud so they can.
How can one go from Svargaloka to the higher connection system like Brahmaloka? You said for association. Thank you for being here.
Generally, if one goes to Svargaloka, one will come back to Earth. It is very hard to develop renunciation or detachment in Swaga, like that, generally. So you come back to Earth. From Earth, then you can go to Mahaloka, Tapaloka, then you can gradually elevate from those planets. So from Swaga, generally, you will not go upwards. You'll come back to Earth, usually.
Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditional state do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, and for suffering in so many hellish conditions. According to the opinion of Acharya, the word Karma Yoga Phala Vedana indicates that by first performing Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga, and finally coming to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti Yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend on Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga. Bhakti Yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in Karma Yoga or an illiterate with no assets in Jnana Yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to Bhakti Yoga. Maam Eviti Atamshya. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 8.7 that by the process of Bhakti Yoga, one undoubtedly goes back to Godhead, back home to the spiritual world. Yogis, however, who are going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Lord Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahmana. At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka, goes directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana sahasya sarve samprapte pratishanchare parishyanti kata mana pravishyanti paramparam. Because of their exalted position, those who are on the Brahma Loka at the time of dissolution go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma.
So what points does Prabhupada make?
Material is so powerful. Then one need not have karma yoga. You can directly do this.
Any other point?
Is it possible to go to Bodhita Vrindavan from Dhammaloka?
Yes.
So, do you understand that what is going to work in a Bodhi Vrindavan?
I try to take a lock up. Generally, it's said that we go to the Vrindavan in the material world where Krishna is performing in pastime. Then we get trained by the resident of the Vrindavan, we develop the higher level of prema, and then we go back to the local Vrindavan. However, Jananda Prabhu told me that Srila Prabhupada said that for the pujaris, they can go straight to the local Vrindavan.
Bhakti yoga
is the process of perfection. This is stated by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamana Baba Marpato Majadhanamanchuchacha. Krishna's final teaching is this, the method of attaining is bhakti yoga, in devotional service. So if you perform bhakti yoga, you don't need to go gradually through different planetary systems. You don't need to gradually purify yourself. You can purify yourself fully in one lifetime. In a few short years. Just like my body, my material body is 42 years old, so maybe according to my palm, it says I live to my 80s. So maybe I have half. I'm halfway there. Seems like halfway there. So, if all goes well, I could die sooner or I could die later. But it means that in those few short years, we can perfect our Krishna consciousness. That is how powerful is the process. Otherwise, it can take lifetimes. You go gradually through the different planetary systems, it will take lifetimes to get to Brahma Loka. And for Brahma Loka, you have to wait to the end of Brahma's life to attain perfection. So the same thing can be done within a few moments here on Earth. You remember when Lord Brahma stole the cow, her boy? How much time was that on Earth?
1 year.
One moment of Brahma, 1 year on Earth. So, a few moments of Brahma, 30 seconds of Brahma, you can go back to Godhead. That is how powerful the process is. So it means you have to become serious. You have to begin to chant properly. Give up your inattentive chanting process. Inattentive chanting will take you to the Loka Vrindavan. Okay. So you have to learn to chant properly. So that is the whole point of studying the Bhagavad Gita. Well, one of the essential points is to learn how to chant the holy name properly. So you should feel your while you're studying the Bhagavad Gita year after year, you should feel that your quality of your chanting is improving, is increasing. So now this is the sixth canto of the Bhagavad Gita. So we're just about finished the Bhakti Vaibhav. At the end of this year, we finished Bhakti Vaibhav. So that means you should feel some definite improvement in the study of Bhagavad Gita. If you're studying Bhagavad Gita and your taste of chanting is not increasing, then there's something wrong with your study. It means you're not applying. Then you're studying very superficially. If you're studying deeply, you should feel some result in the chanting. You should feel that you are developing a taste. Vasudev Katara Ruchi. It should be a taste for chanting coming. Any point?
Why is God so privileged, like even more privileged than Brahmaloka?
It's by Krishna's choice, it's a very special planet. So Krishna chooses to appear here. But Vrindavan Dham is on this earth. Situated. Mayapur is on this earth. Puri is on this earth. Bharat. So it's said to be a very special place where the Lord's incarnation is here and where many great sages and rishis appear. So the Lord has chosen this planet. It's very special.
And we have very great opportunity because we are also born on this planet at the best time, straight after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we need to take advantage of this opportunity, seriously. We say it all, you hear every second class, people say, you know, we're in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya just came, and we're so fortunate. Everyone goes, yeah, we're very fortunate. Prasadam will be soon anyway, so yeah, we're very fortunate. But, you know, when we actually begin to take this seriously, that's when we become deeply fortunate. So we have to take advantage of this situation.
Yogi, I mentioned here, develops a desire to see various planetary systems, as the Prabhupada mentioned here, before going back to spiritual world. And then he lands up in Brahmaloka. Then where is, what dharma for such a person to go back to develop love of Krishna? I mean, is Harinam Sankirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma here, is also the Yuga Dharma there?
Usually they follow Ashtanga Yoga, Mahaloka, Jamaloka, Sapaloka. Usually they do, it's usually they follow the Ashtanga process. But you read in the fourth canto, you hear about the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is also doing Ashtanga, but then you hear that he was also doing deity worship, he was bathing in the Jamuna. That he was hearing and chanting. He was chanting the holy name, he was hearing Bhagavatam. So they're also doing all of these activities. But it seems that they also follow like an Ashtanga type of process. Like a meditation like that.
So it's not strictly that only so because then Mahaprabhu said Hare Namaiva Kevalam, there is no other way. That should also apply to Brahmaloka because
Kaliyuga
is also going on there.
There's no Kaliyuga in Brahmaloka.
There's no
Kaliyuga. We're the fortunate one.
There's no
Kaliyuga in Brahmaloka. There's no Kaliyuga in Swagaloka. Just on this planet. Like that. In Swagaloka, they know it's Kaliyuga because there's a dark cloud in the corner of the sky. So then we go and see there's a dark cloud, and then they think, okay, Kali Yuga is happening. But they don't feel there's no difference. Like, it doesn't change their life. Whereas down here, everything changes. Any other comments?
As they're talking about the opinion of their sadhus from Kali Yuga and the Jnana Yuga. Not
Bhakti Yuga. Bhakti Yuga is the process. Jnana Yoga and Kama Yoga just lead to Bhakti Yoga, that's all.
But then they are saying, according to opinion
of Acharya. Yeah, Krishna Sakurai Sakura says that Kama Yoga and Jnana Yoga, they lead to Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the opinion of the Acharya. They're just stepping stones to Bhakti.
Okay.
Any other points?
From Brahmaloka, one can go back to the spiritual world. And it's also said that some time ago we were on Brahmaloka. But how is that we fell down from going up?
Because we just arrived in the material world. Mm-hmm. So we had some desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So that desire was not fulfilled yet, so we were going away from Krishna. Whereas those who are going to Brahmaloka, they're going towards Krishna. We've gone away from Krishna for millions of lifetimes, now we're coming back to Krishna. Something like that.
We were falling today, so we continue to fall. No difference.
Yeah, we were on the way down because our material desires were not finished. Because like sometimes the devotees, they've been practicing for many years, but then they go back to material desires. Because the material desires are not finished. Okay. So until it's finished, then you... Okay, we'll read the next verse. Our great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer. And according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations.
By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marg, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planet, as you have already described in Third Canto.
As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Itram Yanti Itar Vrata, Bhutan Yanti Vritejya, Yanti Mat Yajanoti Man. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of various modes of nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities, and therefore they are qualified to achieve various destinations. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to heavenly planets. Because of his attraction to the material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, however, those who worship me come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to a higher material position. But when one concludes that in this material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home, back to Godhead. If one attains the destination, he need never return to this material world. Yet gatva na nivartante tadhama paramam mama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeeva, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering towards the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary system, and some are going down to the lower planetary system. Out of many of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating towards the end, towards the universe, going sometimes up to the higher planetary system, sometimes down to the lower planetary system. This is the material disease which is known as Prabhupada Marga. When one becomes intelligent, he takes the Nimriti Marga, the path of liberation. Thus, instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home, back to Godhead, which is necessary.
Any point?
Sri Prabhupada is telling about material disease. That is the Nimriti Marga. So, we have to take Nimriti Marga so that we can stay good.
Anything else?
A person is considered very fortunate if he takes a shelter of the Guru.
So, Krishna consciousness depends upon our desire. And desire leads us to attachment. So whatever we are desiring, we become attached to. Or you could say it the other way, that we are attached to what we desire. So by our desire or our attachment, we will stay in the material world or we'll go to the spiritual world. Now, as devotees, we have to learn to become attached to Krishna. That is the purpose of hearing and chanting. By the process of Shravana and Kirtan, which is the Bhagavad Vidhi Marg, and the process of deity worship, which is the Tantra Sritha Vidhi Marg, which is what the guru gives you at the time of initiation. By following that process, you develop attachment to Krishna. By worshipping the form of the deity, then one becomes attached to the deity. By hearing and chanting about the form of Krishna, about the deity, you become attached to Krishna. This is the process. Harinam Anu Kirtanam. It is given by the spiritual master at the time of initiation. So the devotees follow this process. They develop attachment to Krishna. They desire to once again serve Krishna. Because at the time of death, Krishna will test us. Yam yam, babi, smaran, babam. All of your sadhana will be tested at the time of death. So if your sadhana is very relaxed, then at the time of death you will struggle. Because at the time of death, if you have spent your life chanting in a tangent realm, then what will happen to your mind at the time of death? If your mind cannot be fixed on the holy name now, how will you fix your mind on the holy name at the time of death? So it is a test that we have to learn to chant properly. So that at the time of death, we'll be thinking of Krishna, and then we can transcend. Krishna says, if you think of me at the time of death, you will come to me without fail. But if you think of the demigod, you will take birth among the demigods. So I notice these days, people don't even know there are demigods. So they worship all the pop stars and the sports stars and the movie stars. So they think these people. You know, in India you have Bollywood. So people think, oh, this is the goal of life. Or you have the sports star. Or you have the pop star. And they think this is the goal of life. And they meditate on these people. And at the time of death, they think of these people. And then they attain the same destination as those people. Okay. So then if you think of the forefathers, you're too attached to the family members. At the time of death, if you're thinking of the family members, you take birth among them. So Krishna says, if you're thinking of me, then you will come to where I live. So this is our sadhana. Our sadhana means we have to practice. We have to follow in the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. Which means that we have to study the Bhagavad Gita, understand the Bhagavad Gita, what the emphasis in the Bhagavad Gita is, which is to remember Krishna. Then, from the Bhagavad Gita, we will go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we should finish the Bhagavad Gita in about 2024, or something like that. And then, we get into the real nectar, which is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So please stay around. Don't go back to India. To stay here in Melbourne, and we will continue to study the Bhagavad Gita, and then eventually we get to take on the character of Mika, like that, and then we will understand what Chaitanya was teaching. Lord Chaitanya was fully absorbed in Krishna. He was only thinking of Krishna, and when he follows his example, they will also reach Krishna. Mm-hmm. So any point?
So you can get a test. You can have your life to reach to Krishna, but ultimately it depends on his mercy. As he has said in Bhagavad Gita, even the remembrance comes from him. So unless he reminds you, and his mercy comes to you.
Yeah, if you want to remember him, he will help you at the time of death.
Yeah, so ultimately he's the one who is going to help.
Yeah, it's his mercy, but it's your endeavor.
Yes, that's right.
So if you try, then he will help.
Yeah.
Do your best, and he will take care of the rest.
Yes,
any other points?
How is it then the Ashtanga yogis go to the various planets? Because if they are real Ashtanga yogis, they meditate on the Paramatma. So then how come they are not appealing the Lord but going to other planets?
You mean they elevate to different planets? It must be a slow process. It's a gradual process. So they're gradually, it seems like it takes a long time to become fixed in samadhi, because it's an eightfold process, ashtanga. So they go dharana, dhyana, samadhi, so it must take a long time, compared to our process, which is very quick.
And if they become fixed in their samadhi, what is the goal of the
Ashtanga yogi? It depends on what their siddhanta or understanding is when they realize Paramatma. Because Prabhupada says that some of them think that is me. Mm. Yeah, they say Paramatma, but because they have some mind by kin, they think, well, that is me, I am that. Then they merge into that, like that. Or if they think that is the Lord and I am the devotee, then if they're still fixed in that shantarat, because that is shantarat, then they may go to Vaikuntha and they may become like a rock or something in Vaikuntha, which is in shantarat. But then if they develop some desire to serve, they could move to dashirat, and then they can start moving into positions of servitude in Vaikuntha. Generally it leads to Vaikuntha.
So
when the Paramatma then becomes the Taittiriya Guru and guides him towards Bhagavan, that happens in the Ashtanga Yoga state as well?
Does the Paramatma guide them towards
Bhagavan realization to go further? If that's what they desire, yeah. If they have just some desire to be God, then they merge into the Lord. So if they have a desire to serve God, then the Lord helps them to realize that.
Mm. Do you quite right know they get attracted to some of this rocky like the Siddhis and they get quite right. Actually their goal will be to attain Paramatma feature, but in the process they get attached to the Siddhis and they get quite right instead of going transcending. Is that right? That's what I thought.
Can we say that to whom we are attached, we go there, therefore if we get attached to our spiritual master, he is going to go back to Vaikuntha and we can follow him.
Yeah. Any other point?
See, when they meditate on Paramatma, they don't meditate on the impersonal, they I think they meditate on the Narayana.
Yeah, but in their heart they think that I will become one with the Narayana. Well, they don't think that is the absolute truth. They think that if the Brahman, that is just a representation of Brahman. So if they think like that, then they merge into the Lord.
That's what
yeah, but then they think that that four-handed form is a representation of Brahman. So if they think like that, then they're impersonal. And my body is voice of Didi is also, so they think that Didi is just a representation of Brahma.
So according to Kandi, you say that 60,000 thoughts flow in the human mind on a daily basis on average. So this statement as a man says, whatever we think. So is that the very thought what we think, or is it the consciousness what we develop throughout the life getting body?
It's whatever you're thinking of the most. Whatever you think of the most is what you'll think of at the time of death. Even if you think of something else at that moment, but if you spend your life searching for Krishna, then Krishna will cover that, he will take you back to God.
In most of the classes, what they see after Krishna is death, you know, what is your consciousness at the time of death? But actually, when I read Ramanuja Charan's Bhashyam last week, in that right, he asked one of the questions to one of his spiritual masters, Shredapurna, to ask the Lord, you know, how is it possible for a person to remember at the time of death because he is so suffering. The soul, the body pushes the soul outside the body, he is so suffering. Then the Lord answers him telling that he may not remember me, I will remember me. So by our sadhana practice, it is not required to remember the Lord at the end. Lord will automatically remember, is that not true?
Yeah, but you want to be quite serious. Don't take any risks. Don't be lazy.
Actually, you spoke instead of one verse as well. That the Lord is remembering what I have done for you.
It's a punishment. Yes. Yeah. Just remember that verse, you'll be okay. You'll be okay.
I don't know. Depends on
me. I know.
Depends on me.
You will be okay.
I do. By your mercy.
Guru Raj will look after you. Tulsi Devi will look after you. What is the problem? Prabhupada said, what is the problem?
The problem is my doubt.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm good enough.
So what happens in the final days, Krishna will give you special mercy.
Okay.
Braja Bihari Prabhu, he is Guru Jan Prabhu's disciple. He lived in Vrindavan for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
So many devotees go to Vrindavan to leave their body. So he was there when many devotees left their body, with some devotees. And he told me that leading up until their death, they had many doubts and they were fearful. But in the last few days, Krishna gives special mercy. And they become very effulgent, and then they. Okay. So even if the doubts are there, Krishna will give some special mercy.
Oh, that's nice.
Pretty. It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
You have also described at the end of the fifth canto the varieties of hellish life that result from impious activities. And you have described in the fourth canto the first Nandan Sar, which was presided over by Swayambhu Manu, the son of Lord Brahma.
My dear Lord, you have described the dynasty and characteristics of King Priyavrata and King Uttanapada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead created this material world with various universes, planetary systems, planets and stars, with varied lands, seas, oceans, mountains, rivers, gardens and trees, all with different characteristics. These are divided among this planet Earth, the luminaries in the sky and the lower planetary systems. You have very clearly described these planets and the living entities who live on them. The Prabhupada describes in the purport that Krishna is the source of everything. Because we've just heard at the end of the fifth canto a description of the different planetary systems. So in the Quran, there is a statement that if you do not believe in God, then just open your eyes. Now, how can you deny there is a God? You just look at the creation. You cannot say there is no God. So if you study the planetary system, you'll see there is a God. Because there is so much intelligent design behind this universe. So anyone who is a little intelligent, who is not so envious of God, they will understand that there is a creator. Why? Because it is so obvious there is a creator. For anyone. Just like who created your watch, who created your car. Right? It's intelligent design. So anyone's a little intelligent, they understand, obviously. And we saw in that video we saw last week, Newton and Einstein both said, obviously there's a cosmic intelligence. Obviously. It's only someone who's very envious of God will deny it. That this intelligent design is not possible. Okay. A greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadev Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pain. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that a devotee has no problem. Hands up if you have no problem. So what does that mean? You're not devotee? Prabhupada says no problem. A devotee has no problem. A devotee does not have any problem. Actually, we don't have any problem. Actually, if you look at our lives, we don't actually have any problem. If we can learn to detach ourselves from the material energy, then we don't have any problem. It's only because we identify with the material energy that we see it as being problematic. Problems are there. You cannot avoid problems in the material world. In the sense that, for rules, you have to come to this class, you have to come on time. Right? 8:45 is not on time. 7:30 is more. So, we see that even Lord Brahma, at the beginning of the creation of this universe, then we saw that the cosmic wind was blowing the lotus flower. You remember back in the previous canto? Like that? Maybe canto 2? Okay. Okay. So, Prabhupada comments at that time, even for Lord Brahma, there are problems in this world. Right? But actually, there's no real problem. For a devotee. A devotee doesn't actually have a problem. Because he's transcendental, he's situated in Krishna consciousness. So he's not actually affected. We only become affected because we're still neophyte devotees. So we still identify with this world very much. And therefore we have anxiety. We worry about our finances. We worry about our careers. We worry about our families. We worry about so many different things. But actually, for a devotee, if he's a little detached and advanced in Krishna consciousness, there are no problems. The problems are only for the non-devotees. The non-devotees have a problem. Devotees don't have problems. Right? Because a devotee who's a little advanced, he sees all the problems as being Krishna's mercy. So where is the problem? And if he's suffering, if the devotee appears to be suffering in this world, he thinks this is Krishna's mercy on me. Because he's making me more detached from this world. Just like some devotees are debating whether they should stay in Australia or go back to India. So they're thinking, if I go back to India, my problems will be solved. But another way to look at it is you stay in Australia, right, and you suffer, and then Krishna is bringing you closer to him. You're learning detachment, becoming more attached to Krishna. Okay. And then you go back to India, you'll be suffering anyway. You can't escape suffering. Prabhupada says there is a Bengali proverb, even if you go to Swaga, your sore head goes with you. So it means your problems get there before you do. So your problem is your karma. That's your problem. You can't escape your karma. Your karma is already there. If you go to India, you'll get the same karma. If you stay in Australia, you'll get the same karma. It's all predestined. So you cannot escape it. So better to just become Krishna conscious. So the Prabhupada says, devotees do not have problems. So we're not devotees, that's why we have problems. We are Vaishnav Abbas. Abbas means shadow of Vaishnav. We put on tilak and put on sari or dhoti. We look like devotees, but actually we're just like following devotees. We're not really devotees. Prabhupada said, if they are Vaishnav, why are they falling down? Vaishnava did not fall down. Okay, we fall down all the time. What's the tennis thing?
Actually, the Lord is the problem. But, I mean, according to our karma. But before we received the capacity to solve it, is that right?
He gives you the capacity to tolerate it.
Yes. Before the trouble comes, the capacity is provided before that.
Yeah. And then he has some fun. Okay. Shukadeva Swami replied, my dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life, with his mind, words, and body are not counteracted through proper atonement. According to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planet after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. So, at the end of the fifth canto, what is the relationship between the fifth canto and the sixth canto? The hellish planet is described at the end of the fifth canto. So then, Maharaj Parikshit, he begins the sixth canto. He asks Shukadeva Goswami, what shall we do for the living entities so that they can avoid these hellish punishments? So Shukadeva Goswami is now giving an answer. In these two verses, he says they must perform prayaschitta. No? Prayaschitta means?
Atonement.
I like that. But after two verses, then Maharaj Parikshit says, no, this is not correct. Now the guru is just testing the disciple to see if he's actually listening. Right? He says, it's not actually correct. Yeah? Atonement is not actually the way to overcome this problem. Because what sends us to suffering? Right? What causes suffering? It is path. Part means sin. We perform sin in this life or the previous life. That's why we are suffering. Why are we suffering now? Because we perform sinful activity in this lifetime or in the previous lifetime. And this is a reaction to the sin. So then how to overcome the reaction to the sin? In the Vedas, it says you perform prayaschitta, atonement. You can atone for sin. You voluntarily accept suffering to overcome the reaction to the sin. So this is not the process for the Vaishnavas. The process for the Vaishnavas is bhakti. Krishna says, Sarvadhamam Parijasya Mamekam Sharanam Prajaya Aham Swam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshi Yashami Masrucha. I will deliver you from all the sins. Do not fear. This is the process. We don't have to worry about doing atonement.
Therefore, before one's next death comes, as long as one's body is strong enough, one should quickly adopt the process of atonement according to Shastra. Otherwise, one's time will be lost and the reactions of his sins will increase. As an expert physician diagnoses and treats the disease according to its gravity, one should undergo atonement according to the severity of one's sins. So Prabhupada discusses in the purport the necessity of capital punishment. Because according to Manu Samhita, then if one, Prabhupada gives an example, if one is a murderer, then that person should be killed by the government. Capital punishment. But then what happens these days? They don't have capital punishment. Some countries, America still has some of that. Middle East countries still have some. India has it or they don't have it?
Yeah.
They have it now.
They have it?
Yeah.
They
have it.
They what?
They were diluted because by the time you get capital punishment, 20 years would have passed.
Yeah. Yeah. And in Australia, they have abolished it. They stopped it in the 60s, like that. So, but according to the Vedas, it must be there. Because it is very good for society. Just like you see one place like Singapore, Singapore is very strict. Very strict. Their laws are very strict there. And you see like in Bali and these places, very strict. Capital punishment is there. So it deters people from committing sins. Just like today in the news, they said that they found big drug hauls. So many drugs were found, some syndicates, these crime people, these criminals, they're making drugs. And so you just kill them. Don't have trials. Just get the four of them and just kill them. Right? And then that will send a message out to everyone else. So then it creates discipline within society. And it relinquishes you of your reactions in the future.
Mm.
So this is actually the system.
It's good for that person also, because in the future he doesn't have to suffer.
He doesn't have to suffer in the next life. Like that. So what in the Manus Mingus says, if you steal, then they cut off your hand. So people are walking around with one hand, people will steal that. It's true. If people murder, you kill them. That's it. People will murder less. Right? So if people do these simple activities, there must be appropriate punishment. These days, everything is sentimental. Okay. Maharaj Parikshit said, one may know that sinful activity is injurious to him because he actually sees that a criminal is punished by the government and rebuked by people in general. And because he hears from scriptures and learned scholars that one is thrown into hellish conditions in the next life for committing sinful acts. Nevertheless, in spite of such knowledge, one is forced to commit sins again and again, even after performing acts of atonement. Therefore, what is the value of such atonement? Sometimes, one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. So it is being rejected by Maharaj Parikshit. He's saying, what is the use of atonement? Because someone who is very sinful by nature, even if you punish them and they get some atonement, it still does not remove the desire to do the activity. And actually it's proven that in the prison system in America, in Australia, around the world, the serious criminals, quite often when they come out of jail, they do the same thing again within a few weeks of coming out. So it doesn't actually destroy that sinful. So now Maharaj Parikshit is saying, what will actually destroy that sinful desire? Because atonement does not always destroy the desire. So we need something more powerful than atonement. More power than the prior chitta. That is?
Yeah.
You have to wait for the next week to find out. So please come back next Monday and we will give you the answer. What is more powerful than prior chitta?
Actually, it's not even chitta first because you don't know what you have done in your previous life. You might have done something in your previous life.
set off to do bhakti. Worship Tulsi. It says that if one circuit emulates Tulsi, one destroys Yani Kani, Chapapani, Brahmahatiti Kani Cha, Tani Kani, Pranashanti, Pradakshina, Pade, Pade. Every time you watch circuit emulate Tulsi, you destroy more sins than you can commit, even the sin of killing a Brahmana. Srila Prabhupada ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Devi Sai Gopri Mahamandi ki.